Today in the Joy in the Word podcast, we pick up in the book of Ruth. The book of Ruth is set during the time of the Judges, the book that we just finished. Ruth is a young woman from Moab, and this book is a contrast to the time that we just read about in the Judges when everyone does what's right in their own eyes and they have no king. This is a story of redemption and unconditional selfless love. It is a refreshing look at what happens when someone chooses to lay their life down for someone else. The author of the book of Ruth is unknown. Now, picking up in chapter 1, it says, "In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. A man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech, his wife was Naomi. The names of his sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were from Bethlehem in Judah, and they went to live in Moab. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other named Ruth. After they lived there about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died. Naomi was left without a husband and without her two sons. When she heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, Naomi and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take her back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, 'Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show kindness to you as you have shown to your dead and to me. May the Lord grant each of you to find rest in the home of another husband.' Then she kissed them, and they wept aloud. They said, 'We will go back with you to your people.' But Naomi said, 'Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? I'm not going to have any more sons. Who would become your husband? Return home. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there were still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters. It is more bitter for me than for you. The Lord's hand has gone out against me.' Now, according to the tradition, if there were other sons in the family, they would have married them. And so she's stating the obvious, which is that it's too late for to have sons for them to marry. So it says they wept again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye. But Ruth clung to her. 'Look,' Naomi said, 'your sister-in-law's going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her.' But Ruth replied, 'Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I'll go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if anything but death separates you and me.' When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. So Ruth here lays down her life to go with her mother-in-law. She says, 'I'll go where you go. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people.' So she chooses to go with Naomi when she had the choice to go back to build up her own life again with the people from Moab. So the two women went until they came to Bethlehem. When they arrived in Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. The women exclaimed, 'Can this be Naomi?' 'Don't call me Naomi,' she told them. 'Call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life very bitter.' And Mara means bitter. 'I went away full, but the Lord has brought me back empty. Why call me Naomi? The Lord has afflicted me and brought misfortune upon me.' So they returned to Bethlehem right as the barley harvest was beginning. Moving on to chapter 2, Naomi had a relative on her husband's side, on the clan of Elimelech, a man whose name was Boaz. He was a man of standing. Ruth the Moabitess said to Naomi, 'Let me go to the fields and pick up the leftover grain behind anyone in whose eyes I find favor.' Naomi said, 'Go ahead, my daughter.' So she went out and began to glean in the fields behind the harvesters. As it turned out, she found herself working in a field belonging to Boaz. Just then Boaz arrived from Bethlehem and greeted the harvesters. 'The Lord be with you,' he said. 'The Lord bless you,' they called back. Boaz asked the foreman, 'Whose young woman is that?' The foreman replied, 'She is the Moabitess who came back from Moab with Naomi. She said, "Please let me glean and gather among the sheaves behind the harvesters." She went into the field and has worked steadily from morning till now, except for a short rest in the shelter." So what Ruth is doing here is gleaning. That means she's picking up what's left over in the field. Now, according to Leviticus 23:22, you'll remember that the law said, "When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the alien. I am the Lord your God." So we see immediately that Boaz is a righteous man. He is following the law and allowing people, even aliens in this case, a woman from Moab, to come and glean from the fruit of his land. So in verse 8, Boaz says to Ruth, "My daughter, listen to me. Don't go and glean in another field, and don't go away from here. Stay here with my servant girls. Watch the field where the men are harvesting, and follow along after the girls. I have told the men not to touch you. And whenever you are thirsty, go and get a drink from the water jars the men have filled." At this, she bowed down with her face to the ground. She exclaimed, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother in your homeland, and you came to live with a people that you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge." Ruth's sacrifice is the theme throughout the entire story, this theme of selfless love and laying down your life for the betterment of someone else. So she says, "May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord. You have given me comfort and have spoken kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of even one of your servant girls." At mealtime, Boaz said to her, "Come over here, have some bread and dip it in the wine vinegar." When she sat down with the harvesters, he offered her some roasted grain. She ate all she wanted and had some left over. Clearly a symbol of God's provision and the abundance that he had in store for her. As she got up to glean, Boaz gave orders to his men. "Even if she gathers among the sheaves, don't embarrass her. Rather, pull out some stalks for her from the bundles and leave them for her to pick up, and don't rebuke her." So he's setting aside even more for her than what the law required. So Ruth gleaned in the field until evening. Then she threshed the barley she had gathered, and it amounted to about an ephah. She carried it back to town, and her mother-in-law saw how much she had gathered. Ruth also brought out and gave her what she had left over, after she had eaten enough. Her mother-in-law said, "Where did you glean today? Where did you work? Blessed be the man who took notice of you." Then Ruth told her mother-in-law about the one at whose place she had been working. "The name of the man I worked with today is Boaz." "The Lord bless him," Naomi said to her daughter-in-law. "He has not stopped showing kindness to the living and the dead." She added, "That man is our close relative. He is one of our kinsmen redeemers." Now, a kinsman redeemer is responsible for protecting the interests of a needy family member. If we flip to Deuteronomy chapter 25, verse 5, it says, "If brothers are living together and one of them dies without a son, his widow must not marry outside the family. Her husband's brother shall take her and marry her and fulfill the duty of a brother-in-law to her. The first son she bears shall carry on the name of the dead brother, so that his name will not be blotted out from Israel." So in this case, Boaz is a kinsman redeemer, which means that he is responsible for taking care of the widows in his family. A kinsman redeemer is also someone who lays down his own life and interest for those in his family. Now Jesus is the ultimate kinsman redeemer in that he laid his life down for his brother. He laid his life down for all of us to redeem us from the curse of sin and death. Then Ruth said, "He even said to me, 'Stay with my workers until they finish harvesting my grain.'" Naomi said to Ruth, "It will be good for you, my daughter, to go with his girls, because in someone else's field, you might have been harmed." Moving on to chapter 3, it says, "One day Naomi said to her, 'My daughter, should I not try to find a home for you where you will be well provided for? Is not Boaz, with whose servant girls you have been, a kinsman of ours? Tonight he will be winnowing barley at the threshing floor. Wash and perfume yourself and put on your best clothes. Then go down to the threshing floor. But don't let him know you're there until he's finished eating and drinking. When he lies down, note the place where he is lying. Go and uncover his feet and lie down, and he will tell you what to do." Now, according to the tradition of the time, this was actually a request for marriage. She was offering herself as a bride to Boaz. So she said, "I will do everything that you say." So after Boaz had laid down, Ruth approached quietly, uncovered his feet, and lay down. In the middle of the night, something startled him, and he turned and discovered the woman lying at his feet. "Who are you?" he asked. "I am your servant, Ruth." She said, "Spread the corner of your garment over me, since you're a kinsman redeemer." "The Lord bless you, my daughter," he replied. "This kindness is greater than that which you showed earlier. You have not run after the younger men, whether rich or poor. And now, my daughter, don't be afraid. I will do for you all you ask. All my fellow townsmen will know that you are a woman of noble character. Although it is true that I am a near kin, there is a kinsman redeemer nearer than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to redeem, good, let him. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until morning." So she lay at his feet until morning, but got up before anyone could be recognized. He said, "Don't let it be known that a woman came to the threshing floor." He said, "Bring me the shawl you're wearing and hold it out." When she did, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and put it on her. Then he went back to town. When Ruth came to her mother-in-law, Naomi said, "How did it go?" Then she told her everything that Boaz had done, and said, "He gave me these 6 measures of barley, saying, 'Do not go back to your mother-in-law empty-handed.'" Naomi said, "Wait, my daughter, until you find out what happens, for the man will not rest until the matter is settled today." Meanwhile, Boaz went to the town gate and sat there. When the kinsman redeemer he had mentioned came along, Boaz said, "Come over, my friend, and sit down." Boaz took the 10 elders of the town and said, "Sit here," and those would be for witnesses, someone to be accountable to. He said, "Naomi has come back from Moab. She's selling the piece of land that belonged to our brother Elimelech. I thought I should bring the matter to your attention and suggest you buy it in the presence of those seated here. If you will redeem it, do so. But if you will not, tell me, so I will know. For no one has the right to do it except for you, and I am next in line." "I'll redeem it," he said. Then Boaz said, "On the day you buy the land from Naomi and from Ruth the Moabitess, you acquire the dead man's widow in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property." Then he said, "I cannot redeem it. I might endanger my own estate. You redeem it yourself. I cannot do it." Now, in earlier times in Israel, for the redemption and transfer of property to become final, one party took off his sandal and gave it to the other. This was the method of legalizing transactions. So the kinsman redeemer said to Boaz, "Buy it yourself," and he removed his sandal. Then Boaz announced to the elders and all the people, "Today you're witnesses that I have bought from Naomi all the property of Elimelech, Chilion, and Mahlon. I have also acquired Ruth the Moabitess, who's Mahlon's widow, as my wife, in order to maintain the name of the dead with his property, so that his name will not disappear from among his family or from the town records. Today you're witnesses." Then the elders and all those at the gate said, "We are witnesses. May the Lord make the woman who is coming into your home like Rachel and Leah, who together built up the house of Israel. May you have standing and be famous in Bethlehem. Through the offspring the Lord gives you by this young woman, may your family be like that of Perez, whom Tamar bore to Judah." So they spoke over him blessings and prayed that he would receive the reward for laying down his life for the men who died in his family, much as Ruth would be blessed for laying down her life for Naomi. And then it gives the genealogy of David. It says that Boaz took Ruth and she became his wife. Then he went to her, and the Lord enabled her to conceive, and she gave birth to a son. The women said to Naomi, "Praise be to the Lord, who this day has not left you without a kinsman redeemer. May he become famous throughout Israel. He will renew your life and sustain you in your old age. For your daughter-in-law, who loves you and is better to you than 7 sons, has given him birth." Now, at this time, the only way that a woman would have someone to take care of her is if she had a husband or if she had sons. Her husband and sons were, of course, already dead. And so in this case, according to the law that we read earlier, this son that would be born to Boaz and Ruth would actually, in fact, be given to Naomi as her descendant, as one who would take care of her in the name of her own son. And so this is the restoration of Naomi, and that she would no longer be bitter, but she would be redeemed, because Ruth, who was better than 7 sons in taking care of her, laid down her life for her. So they said, "Naomi has a son," and they named him Obed. And Obed was the father of Jesse. Jesse was the father of David. So Ruth is actually now in the genealogy of David. Ruth, remember, was from Moab. She was not an Israelite. And yet here she is, the ancestor of David, the king of Israel. And David is the ancestor of Jesus. So it says, this is the line of Perez. Perez was the father of Hezron. Hezron, the father of Ram. Ram, the father of Amminadab. Amminadab, the father of Nahshon. Nahshon, the father of Salmon. Salmon, the father of Boaz. Now remember, Salmon was the one that married Rahab, the prostitute, from Jericho. So Salmon was the father of Boaz. Boaz is the father of Obed. Obed is the father of Jesse. And Jesse is the father of David. We know from the book of Matthew, chapter 1, verse 1, that Jesus Christ is the son of David, who's the son of Abraham. So, Ruth, like we talked about before, is listed in the genealogy that leads all the way to Jesus. And it is because she chose to lay her life down for her mother-in-law, and because Boaz chose to be the kinsman redeemer. In each case, it is the symbol of Jesus laying his life down for us, in the way that we should choose to lay our lives down for our brothers, because we know that there is no greater love than one who lays down his life for his brother. And that is Jesus himself, obviously, talking in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And with that, we end the book of Ruth.